Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
It started with two women. And, well, today, it's still two women. But not just any women. It's Laurie and Lynn.
Who can turn the world on with a smile.
Laurie and Lynn, giving Northeast Pennsylvania local talk to start your weekend right.
Suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
And now, celebrating their 10th year on the air on WILK News Radio. Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Love is all, no need to waste it. You can have a town, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Wonderful. How are you?
I feel fine. Just got a lot of frogs in my throat. I
frogs.
Wish they'd get out of there.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm feeling fine. I think that the weather we've had all week has been ridiculous. But it is what it is. Nothing we can say about it.
Nothing
and
we can do about it.
Thankfully, you and I are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no problems.
But the damage is crazy.
Yeah.
And it is scary. When you hear all these, Tuesday night, I was at Russell's for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds weird, but it was a dinner meeting. And you should have heard everybody's alarms. It sounded like...
Like a war zone,
A war zone. Everybody's phones were... And it was scary. It was scary.
Yeah.
My windows were all open in my house.
Yeah.
Because when I left at 5:20, it was beautiful, sunny, blue sky, gorgeous.
Yep.
Rained all day, but then it cleared up. So I didn't pay attention to the rain forecast or the tornado warning because I was gone. But, man, was that scary.
Then
the damage that happens is I don't ever remember except for once all of these tornado warnings in the last couple of years.
I don't either. My brother actually saw something on the national news about something that was going on up here. I think he saw the aftermath of the tornado that was in Newton Ransom. And of course, they don't call it that. They say Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. So of course, you know, he gets right on the horn there and says, what's going on? What happened? So I told him. And I said, this is just really weird. And for those listening, my brother lives in Florida, so he really was quite shocked by what was happening. So I told him, he said, this is crazy. He said, I've never seen anything like this. So yesterday, when we got the warning on our phones,
again,
I forwarded it to him, and he said, what is going on? This is just not right. You're not supposed to have tornadoes in the mountains. I said, I know. I said, I just can't. It's just bizarre. So anyway, the world is learning about what's going on here, but what's going on here is almost not even worth talking about versus what's going on in the Midwest.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to dismiss anyone who's been a damaged property, but like some lady said that was interviewed, she said, some woman said, how property can be replaced and no one was hurt, and that's really the bottom line. But these floods, and it's unbelievable. It's scary.
It is.
Very scary.
It is.
Water, it's so damaging.
Yeah,
so powerful.
And that's the thing that we don't think about. We think we get through the tornado, we get through the thunderstorms, we're okay. But as we're seeing, today we're recording this, it's Thursday, all of the flashing stuff all over the place about flash floods.
Yeah.
And the amount of rain that came down and hail and everything else, this is not fun.
No.
It's not just that. It's the aftermath is equally as difficult.
Oh, no.
So anyway, nothing we can do about the weather. So what was going on with you? You said you were at Russell's this week. Did you
have a nice time? Yeah, I had a meeting. Well, yeah, but it was a business. It was a meeting. We had to discuss stuff. So that was a lot of thought in that one. But we had a good weekend, a holiday weekend. Tommy, my son Tommy, is no longer, I wrote, texted him and said, you're no longer a Californian. Mm-hmm. So he is back on the west on the East Coast, baby. Mm-hmm. I will pick him up on Sunday from the Philly area, and he's staying with a friend for this week, and he will be back and moving to the Big Apple.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy. And Sean is there, started his internship on a Tuesday.
In Brooklyn.
And? He's living in an apartment right next to Grand Central. Okay. And then he commutes, I guess it takes the train over to Brooklyn, and it's right there. So it's easy peasy. And I haven't talked to him, believe it or not. We've texted. But talked to him Monday night before he started, just texting back and forth, but he's doing okay.
That's great. Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful. That's a good thing. I think it's going to be an amazing experience. Just the courts in Brooklyn.
Well, you know what, Lynn? It's so weird because, as I just mentioned before, when I said I don't remember ever but once remembering there was going to be a tornado, except for a couple years, the last couple years. Well, mm-hmm. years and years ago. So Sean was born in 1994, so he was 8 years old. So it would be like 2002. Mm-hmm. And it was the year that he and his dad and I, you know, permanently split. And it was in September. And he was eight. And he was just this little kid. And he was just so sweet. And he said, how did he say? Oh, there was a tornado. It talked about a tornado. And that's why I vividly remember. Well, that night he was scared, although he wouldn't say anything. And he heard all the reportings. And he said to me, Mama, do you think I could sleep with you? And I said, of course, because he was scared, you know. Yes. And I won't tell you when he finally left, but guess they will. He was 11, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, because it's the little kids and how they react to these things. You don't really think about it. And to think that he's a 25-year-old, you know, and is going into a second year of law school, and to be living in, you know, all these places where he's been, in D.C. and in Philly and in New Haven and now Brooklyn and just, you know, Manhattan. Yep. It's just, I just think, where did those years go?
Yeah, yeah. And could you see yourself having done all of what he's done?
No, but my mother couldn't have seen herself doing the things that I did when I left and did my thing, because she and my grandmother would say the same thing. Uh-huh. I don't know how you could move to a big city, because when I got married, I moved to Philadelphia, and I never really, except for those 7 months that I took the accelerated course at Robert Packer in nursing, I was really home. You know, I was in Scranton. So I, you know, then to just go there and go right into a city and adjust, and just, I loved living in the city. Mm-hmm. It was great. Yeah. So I think it's all a generational experience, but because we're so far removed from that, we think, how do you do it? Well, you're young, you have this adventuresome way, and you, it's where things are going on and where they're happening. So, and as long as you train them, right, you know, you give them that freedom to fly, then, you know, from the nest, it's all good.
Remember when you were talking about, you know, the differences in the generations. I will never forget the first time I went into Manhattan, and I went in on a bus trip with, I don't even know who it was, a bunch of people. And my mother was so nervous about my being in New York. So I must have been late teens.
And she called you on your cell every minute, right?
Yeah,
it's
my cell.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. No, but she gave me all these warnings of things I had to do. I had to not look at anybody.
Don't talk to strangers.
Don't go on the subway. And then the best part, though, was that I had to tuck a few $20 bills in my bra.
Oh, my God.
Just in case anything happens, you'll need to get home.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my father used to always say to me, make sure you have mad money.
Yeah. Well, but, exactly. But it's just the funniness of how her expectations were that it was a scary and dangerous place.
Yeah.
And I had a
anywhere
had a
other than where you live was to them, right?
Yes.
I mean, they just didn't go. Think about it. Like my, now some of my grandmother's brothers and sisters moved. Well, none of her sisters, but two of her brothers moved out of town.
Yeah.
Three of her brothers. But she stayed here. And then my mother's family, my mom stayed local, but all of my mother's other siblings, my uncle was in the air in the Marines, so they were all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then my aunts, my Aunt Marie married my uncle who's in the Air Force, so they were all over. And my Aunt Bobby married my Uncle Lou, who they moved to to New Jersey. So they left, but like my grandmother, my mother, they were all here. They didn't go anywhere. My mother went to school at Scranton State, Hospital,
right.
So School of Nursing. So she didn't, they didn't go.
Right.
So it's weird when you see your kids just automatic. You just don't think about it anymore. And I don't even think like you say when you said, can you imagine? I don't even think that because I think it's just the rite of passage. It's the generation. It's the things they do, and they just do it.
Yeah. Well, you were very ambitious, adventurous when you left.
Oh, my God. I went all over and had no flu. And now I hate getting on an airplane, but I remember I went to California for 2 summers in a row. Went by one I was with someone's neck. Next one I was alone and just got in a plane and didn't think, like, no fear, just right across the country and went to Spain for 2 weeks in high school. Didn't have a fear in the world. And I've been all over, but I'm afraid. I don't like to fly. So it's just, I guess we pick up those things. I do it if I have to, but I really don't like to. I'd rather drive.
Yeah.
I'd rather get in an RV and drive.
Well, there's that. The RV fantasy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
I do want to do that because there was something on CBS Sunday Morning about RVing and people and the things people use, like vans that they turn into living in a school bus.
Yep.
And he's a financial planner and does it remotely, and she homeschools these 4 little kids, and they said, why should we wait till we're older and have issues when we're young? We're doing it now, which there's something to be said about that. The only thing I worry about is how do you, when will you settle down with those children to experience some of the things you do other than homeschooling your kids?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because I don't know where her home base is. And if they get to say, can we go to a prom or can we go to a pep rally or a football game or something? I don't know that. So I know if you live somewhere, I think if you're a cyber or you're schooled, homeschooled, I think depending on where you live, I think you can do those things. Can't you?
Yes.
Like if you say you live in Dunmore, but you're home, I think you can go to those things if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I don't either. But I just wonder, are the experiences these kids are getting by being in the open, freewheeling kind of thing more going to be so much different than their peers growing up who have traditional home lives of experiencing all those graduations and as I said, homecomings, pep rallies, baseball, football, all those things that you do as a kid in high school. The clubs you join, the activities, the after-school stuff. I don't know.
I think that's true no matter who you are, if you're enrolled in a cyber school or homeschooled. I think that's an issue for everybody who does that. But I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they work around it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone who has homeschooled a child.
I kind of do, but not like real good friends. So I don't know that. That's a lot of work, too.
It is.
It's a lot to take on.
Yeah,
but they were saying that the fact that they can, to experience nature, they go outside of their wherever they are parked and show these things, opposed to reading them in a book or learning about them.
Oh yeah,
so,
I think there's great value in that.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I do, but
well, you're an RV fan too.
I love it. I think it's great, but I would do it now. Don't think I would want to do it with young children, but. Now I think it'd be fun. Anyway, we are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Laurie and Lynn Show, and we will be right back.
Hi, my name is Lynn S. Evans, CFP, co-host of the Laurie and Lynn Show. I am the managing director of a new business, Women of Substance, LLC, a financial planning firm dedicated to the specific financial needs of baby boomer women. I help them navigate through widowhood, retirement, divorce, and job loss. Send me an email at lynn@lynnsevans.com and let me know how I can help you. I'm also the host of a podcast, Power of the Purse, available on more than 30 sites, including iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We record these lively conversations with women who've been there and have great advice to give others so they don't go down the same dark holes. And we feature some experts who share some great ideas to be prepared before you have to face these transitions. And we have a whole lot of fun. Please don't let the fear of not knowing about personal finances stop you anymore. I am here to take the confusion and mystery out of money. Go to my website, lynnsevans.com, and see how we can set up a time to talk or browse around the many blogs and other free info on the site. Remember, money's not the enemy. Your ignorance of it is.
Do you have a support, custody, or divorce case in northeastern Pennsylvania? Call Barbara J. O'Hara, an attorney with 31 years of experience in divorce, custody, and support cases. You need an attorney who is experienced in family law cases, not a general practitioner. Call Barbara J. O'Hara at 570-344-7171. This may be your first divorce, but it shouldn't be your attorney's. You need experience on your side. Call Barbara J. O'Hara at 570-344-7171.
At Fidelity Bank, we're here whenever and wherever you need us. As your financial partner, our goal is to provide you trusted advice and outstanding service, whether you're in line at our branches or online with your smartphone, mobile device, or computer. With convenient banking tools like our Fidelity mobile app, you can put the bank right in your pocket for safe, secure, 24/7 access anytime or anywhere. Call today, 1-800-388-4380. Visit us online or stop by your local branch to go mobile with Fidelity Anytime Banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, which is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I'm the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And the Green Ridge Chicken is still on the loose. Just so you know,
as I call her
the GRC.
Okay.
And there was captured a rooster,
yes,
which they thought was the chicken, but an Aldarunda called to tell me my friend caught the Green Ridge Chicken. And I said, come on. And he said, yeah. And I said, you're kidding. And he said, it was in between two garages or something, and they had to throw a net over it. And he goes, but just so you know, it wasn't a chicken. It was a rooster. I said, it's not a rooster. I have a picture. It's not.
Yes.
He said,
it's
no,
woman.
It's a rooster. The woman who put the ad out said it's definitely a rooster, a chicken.
That's right.
So I said, so then Meyer sees her again on Greenridge Street, the chicken,
yes,
after I was told it was captured. So then I called this lady again, Marie, and she said, no, that was a rooster someone actually caught. So he was right by saying it was a rooster.
Okay.
And so I'm like, where are these animals? How are they escaping? And she said, I don't know if somebody let them loose, mm-hmm, because to have a rooster and a chicken now floating around, but that Green Ridge Chicken is still running around.
Well, I'm glad they got the rooster because he can make a hell of a
I
lot
said
of noise.
No one's complaining about noise when Al told me it was a rooster. Well,
yes,
anyway, they got him, thank God, and they brought him to wherever, some farm or something. And then now the other one is still, and she's offering a $200 reward if you get the chicken.
Why?
Because she just so then maybe someone will really look for and help with cash on the line,
okay,
you know?
Yeah.
So, of course, when I saw it in the paper, I took a couple pictures and sent it to everyone. Said, want to make some fast cash? Find that chicken. So everywhere I go, I'm looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so keep your eyes out for the chicken.
Okay.
And, you know.
Well, I just wanted to talk about an update here.
We all remember
our dear friend Bernie Madoff and the mess that he created in our world.
Did he die?
He's in prison.
Is he still in jail? He's in prison.
Okay. He'll be there for the rest of his life. Anyway, this is about his wife.
Oh, God.
Ruth.
Yeah, what about her?
Okay, so a $600,000 settlement between Bernie Madoff's wife and the trustee raising money for victims of the con man was approved by a New York judge, resolving a decade-old lawsuit against the former socialite. The deal, reached May 3rd, was approved Tuesday by U.S. bankruptcy judge in Manhattan. Under the agreement, Ruth Madoff will make an upfront cash payment of $250,000 to a fund for victims and transfer another $344,000 from accounts she set up for her grandchildren.
Oh, God.
She also agreed that all her remaining assets would be transferred to the trustee after she dies. And then the next question you think is, well, what else does she have? Well, Ruth Madoff, who's been living quietly out of the public eye since her husband began serving a 150-year prison term, was accused in 2009 of getting $44 million in phony profit from her husband's $2 billion Ponzi scheme. She long denied the claims and has always said she didn't know about the fraud. The couple earlier agreed with federal prosecutors to forfeit their homes, financial holdings, and other property, though Ruth Madoff was allowed to keep $2.5 million. The poor thing.
Yeah.
That deal didn't preclude the trustee, Irving Picard, from going after the money. So that's part of where all these funds are coming from. But it's just amazing to me that they gave her $2.5 million, mm-hmm. like that was just a little something, when you consider that she supposedly had $44 million. That was her part of the deal. Now, maybe she didn't understand what he was doing, and I know from working with so many women
that she may
they're
not
clueless.
Have, correct.
They are clueless what's going on.
Right.
All she knows is that she's got credit cards and servants and things, and where it comes from, she doesn't know, because that's Bernie's business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, $44 million was put into some kind of an account for her. Now, she may not even have known that was there either, because I'm sure he set it up in her name and clueless. But the thing that's so ironic about it is that she had to take the money from her grandchildren's accounts.
That's horrible.
But that was, you know, ill-gotten funds in the first place.
Didn't one of their children actually commit suicide
one of their sons?
Jesus, mm-hmm. God almighty.
Yes.
Greed.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty bad. But I just thought that was interesting. I came across that today on the financial wires, and I just thought, amazing. She gets $2.5 million as a little cushion. That's not going to do anything for her.
Where does she live? She's still in Manhattan?
I don't know. It doesn't say where she is.
Yeah, probably for safety
reasons. But
she's
been laying low.
Yeah, well.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's a sad thing all the way around. Everybody, there's so many people that...
Who lost their money.
They lost everything. They lost their retirement funds.
I know,
they lost everything.
Dear God.
It's really bad. So anyway, another thing that I thought we would chat about here is we talked a couple weeks ago, or I did at least, about something called discordant retirement. I don't know if you remember that, but I thought it was interesting that somebody had to come up with a term for it. And all it really means is that couples don't retire at the same time. One person's still working full-time, and another person is part-time or fully retired. This article was about why couples shouldn't automatically retire at the same time, which I think is very interesting, because usually most people, when it was a traditional couple where the wife worked part-time or she worked not at all outside the home, and the husband was the breadwinner, it was just assumed that when he retired, she would therefore retire as well. But now in our world where we have careers with both people, it's not as easy as it used to be to just make that assumption. So, to your point, you can picture exactly what your first day of retirement will look like. You'll pack your bags, start up your new RV, and with your spouse, head out on a two-year tour of the great national parks.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, your spouse doesn't share your vision. Not only does he or she dislike long road trips, they don't think you can afford an RV in the first place. And besides, they don't want to have to leave their rewarding career just because it happens to be the day you can retire. You might think the above scenario can't happen to you, but unless you've had an in-depth discussion about the exact details of your retirement transition, you could be heading for some potential unneeded conflict. Couples who simply assume that they're thinking the same things about these issues but haven't had a complete conversation about it will most likely have very different ideas about what their retirement should look like. One reason is that finances are not a comfortable topic for most people. Now, this is fascinating to me. According to Colin Walsh, the CEO of Varo Money, I don't know what that means, but talking about money is culturally shameful. And I would agree, that's a good way to describe it, because we don't talk about money. Everybody needs it and controls it so much, but nobody talks about it. Backing this up is a survey of 3,000 adults conducted by investing app Acorns, which found that 68% of people would rather talk about their weight than money.
What?
Yes. Really?
Are the 64% skinny?
I don't know. I don't know, but that's God. Just bizarre.
Yeah, that's weird.
And so it's no wonder that a retirement study by Fidelity found that 1 in 3 couples are not in agreement when asked to describe their expected lifestyle in retirement. Michelle Singletary, a financial columnist for the Washington Post, wrote an article called "Can Retirement Ruin Your Marriage?" Her short answer is, it can, if you're not on the same page.
Okay. Well, and that's, just like anything else.
Yeah, but that's, remember we talked about the increase, dramatic increase in the gray divorce?
Yes.
It's a big part of it. Mm. Big part of it. So anyway, they also then put a plug in for the rest of us that said, your trusted financial advisor is the ideal person to talk to together as a couple. Not only can you benefit from their acquired wisdom in helping people in similar situations, but being a third party with your best interest in mind, they can help you and your spouse hear each other clearly and come to agreement on the major issues surrounding retirement. Having your expectations out in the open can help ease both your minds and ensure that your transition into retirement is free of conflict. And I say that will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Free of conflict?
No matter what?
Oh, please. There'll always be issues. There'll be the things that you said you agreed upon. It's a negotiated agreement. But then when the reality hits and you have to honor your deal, doesn't always work that way. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, let's give you a story of one of the clients that I know. Okay, they both wanted to go to school. They thought that would be a good thing. They both wanted to learn some new skills, so they went to the adult education courses. All right, one person decided that he was going to be a mechanic. He wanted to learn basic mechanics so that he could repair things around the house. And he thought that was a great idea. His wife agreed. So that was really wonderful. She decided that she wanted to learn French cuisine. So she went and took the courses in French cuisine. But as it evolved, it turned out that he wanted space to do all of his work. He needed a workshop, and there was no space. So then he said, well, we could buy a shed, and I could use the shed as my workplace. Well, she didn't think that was a good idea because she didn't think they had the money to afford to do that. So what I'm saying is they agreed up front that this is what they were going to do, but it kind of morphed into other things. And then they were on two different paths. So, I mean, it worked out, but I'm just saying that it's never free of conflict. The conflict will always be there as long as you're two people with a lot of time on your hands.
But a shed?
Yeah.
Come on.
I know.
If they're taking courses and they're doing it, you can't afford a shed.
That's what I Oh, well, it's not just the shed. See, because the shed then had to have electric in there so that he could use his tools.
Yeah, I know. Well, she's got to loosen up. I'm with the guy. I'm on his side. Loosen up, lady.
Well, yeah, loosen up is right.
Is that too much to want for a man to be in a shed?
I don't think so.
I would say build a museum for himself if he stays out there.
And ultimately, that is what she came up with. Maybe I can get him out of the house. So she said, okay. So it was kind of like a garage thing. I got that big.
I like it. Good. I'm glad he got
it. And it was fine. It worked out really well.
And then they'll be nicer because they have their own space. Anyway.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're ending this session. I'm actually cutting out a little bit early. Lynn will be up next with our guest expert from ERA, One Source Realty, Leah Janakopoulos, who is the Director of Business Development. And they'll be talking a little bit about millennials and
hot market. A very hot market.
Yeah, here we go.
And she said, please give us some things to sell.
There you go. Okay. That's what she told you when you met with her about what you were going to go over.
Yeah,
all right,
she said, please, let's get somebody to sell.
Yeah, she's going to say that. All right. Well, we will see you. I'll see you next week. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Laurie and Lynn Show.
Hi, this is Nancy Kamen from WILK's Morning News with Webster and Nancy. And I know Laurie Cadden. A lot of people know Laurie Cadden. And more importantly, Laurie Cadden knows a lot of people. Laurie Cadden Enterprises specializes in fundraising, public relations, and special events. Laurie Cadden can take your business or organization to the next level. This isn't something that you learn about in a book. Heck, it can't even be taught. Laurie Cadden lives it. She knows how to work a crowd, open doors, and build and nurture relationships. With Laurie Cadden Enterprises, you get, ta-da, Laurie Cadden and her 20-plus years of experience. Call Laurie today at 357-8399, 357-8399, or email Laurie, Laurie, at lauriecadden.com, lauriecadden.com. Laurie Cadden Enterprises, because it is who you know.
I'm Dr. Nicole DeNova. Since VREC opened its doors in 2010, we've treated over 30,000 patients, including the puppy whose curiosity led him to a porcupine and the police canine who was just doing his job. VREC is located at 318 Northern Boulevard in Clark Summit and is open 24/7 for your pet peace of mind. To learn more about us, visit VRECPA.com or call 570-587-7777.
ERA, Exceptional Real Estate Agents. When you want to have the best of the best selling your home, you want ERA One Source Realty. With offices all over northeastern Pennsylvania, ERA One Source Realty will give you the personalized service you'd expect from a professional real estate company. They have experienced realtors that have years of experience, which gives you, the home seller, an incredible advantage. They will offer suggestions to make your house sell faster. They will tell you what others will be looking for. They know how to present your home and sell its features, giving you the greatest chance to have your house sell fast. And ERA One Source Realty offers an industry exclusive guarantee. If ERA doesn't sell your house, ERA will buy it. Yes, if they don't sell your house, ERA will buy it. That's peace of mind. That's a guarantee worth its weight in gold. Call ERA One Source Realty today and find out how you can have your house marketed by one of the top rated companies in northeastern Pennsylvania. Call 877-587-SELL or on the web at ERA1.com. ERA One Source Realty, always there for you.
Here's Lori and Lynn.
Good morning. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for the financial planning needs of baby boomer women. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, which is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And my partner here in crime, Laurie Cadden, had to step out. So I am here today with our guest expert, Leah Janakopoulos from ERA One Real Estate. And welcome, Leah.
Hi. How's everyone doing?
Good. Let's see what we can talk about today, because there's so many things going on in the real estate market. It is flying off the shelves. faster than you could get inventory. And I remember that you said something at least a couple months back, maybe 5-6 months ago, of how desperately you needed people to sign up and say, hey, sell my property, because you had more buyers than sellers. Is that
the
case?
It is true. Yeah.
And so how long does something stay on the market?
Well, no lie. Actually, one of our agents that work here, he works out of our Pexel office. We just had a conversation, and I had a house that went pending in 2 hours last Monday with 8 showings, put it on the market at 3. Someone called for a showing at 5. And then they honestly went back to back all night, and I had an offer in writing that night within me putting it on. It was crazy. And same thing just happened to another one of our agents. Like I said, we were talking about it this afternoon. He put a house on. He has a waiting list in case this falls through of people that wanted this house. And
wow.
He literally had it on, showed, and an offer agreed and everything within 6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it's no joke. It's been crazy out there. And I mean, I can't complain. And, you know, I was asking, obviously, my broker, Sunita, and she goes, I don't ever remember it ever being this crazy. I mean, and we'll all take it. And, you know, it's so funny because you'll call a realtor like I did, and I had requested to show a few of the homes. And as soon as I made the request and everything, they said, yeah, you know, we have a few showings on it. By that night or that morning, they're like, sorry, we have to cancel your showing. We've already accepted an offer. And that's been kind of the trend lately across the board everywhere, and we're all kind of in acceptance of it. You know, I actually had to cancel a showing on one of my listings that we had accepted an offer on, and, you know, the realtor said to me, he goes, I get it. He goes, it's like crazy right now. He's like, you can't even get upset. He's like, because everyone has to understand what's going on. I said, I've never seen anything like this in my 6 years of real estate, and I'm not complaining, but it's been great. Just like also a couple weeks ago, I took people to see a few houses in the Dunmore area, and you know, the agent said within an hour of me booking that appointment, she said, just so you know, I already have 2 offers on the table. So we're not joking when we say we really need your house. If you're thinking of selling, now is an opportune time.
We really need your house.
And we really want it with us.
Let me ask you a question about what kinds of houses are selling, because I live in a townhome development, and there are lots of for sale signs floating around, but I wouldn't say it's been that quickly that it's been going, but it is going faster than I remember it. So instead of it sitting on the market for 6 months, it's now maybe a month and a half. And I'm just wondering, when you say how crazy this is, are these single-family homes? Are these starter homes? Or are these homes that have four and five bedrooms?
No, more so single-family homes that are just flying off the market, going, predominantly in the Abington School District, Dunmore School District. They're, like, going as soon as they're going on, which, you know, is great, but it's crazy.
What about
the
Poconos? The
Poconos are going just as fast. I the reason I'm privy to the whole Abington School District in Dunmore is just because I had several listings there myself, and actually the Valley View School District, it all went crazy. But I actually have a listing coming up, and the buyer even said, he goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't find a house, but they've outgrown their house. And so they're getting it ready to put on the market. And he goes, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. I said, I guess we'll worry about that when I get your house sold. But it is. It's crazy.
But isn't that the point, though, that people are buying their houses so fast that they can't actually find a home themselves, so they have no place to go? So what do they do,
we're
right?
Yeah, finding everything. You know, the thing of it is a lot of people that are upgrading or, you know, getting ready, like that this was their starter family home, that's in that sweet price range that really appeals to our area, that, like, high 100, mid 200s, especially in the Abington School District, or, you know, in Dunmore or wherever it may be. That's what really appeals to our area. So those are really going quickly because, of course, you know, now they're ready to settle in and buy another home and upgrade a little bit. But, you know, it's a lot of the price ranges that are going and moving quickly. It's not just you know, the ones and twos, we had a few over in the sixes and the sevens that went just as fast. Not 6 hours, but 3 days, 4 days.
Well, I saw a section of the real estate listings over the weekend that were specialized in properties that were over $500,000. I couldn't believe that there were that many in our area, first of all, that there were that many to pick from. But secondly, that so many people are actually just out there looking for that. You know, I mean, I don't know what everybody always says, where do these people work? Who has the kind of money that would be able to buy properties like that? Or is that just the fact that these are people coming into our area? They've sold properties.
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of both. The nice thing about us now, too, is that we're becoming such a big hospital town, you know, with UPMC coming in and the few of the other hospitals. You know, we do have a lot of doctors coming into the area that are signing up to work here, do their residencies and their fellowships or whatever, and a lot of professionals that are coming to town to work at the hospital. That is the other thing, too. You know, there's not just doctors and physicians that are coming in, but we have, you know, charge nurses, head nurses, the head of the nursing staff, the CFO, the CEO, you know, and a lot of these big companies, you know, they're relocating them up here, so we're getting those people that, you know, want those houses, which is really nice as well.
And how do people from out of town find you?
What they do is a lot of people, we have a really good marketing and advertising presence. Actually, we had someone that called the other day, and I just always like to ask sometimes when people call just randomly in and ask, I always like to say, you know, how'd you find us? And they're like, oh, your sign at the airport, actually, or your billboard, or you're popping up on our leads and on social media, or you're doing this, you're doing that. And, you know, we just see, and, you know, your number just sticks with us. And, you know, that's good to hear, because people are always seeing us, whether it's on our social media presence, our marketing in the paper, whether it's an article that maybe George wrote, Sunita wrote, someone has done. Everyone's finding us through our marketing initiatives, which is a really good way. And we really do take pride in our marketing, especially when you're marketing and advertising a house with us. We have a program called Distinctive Properties, and actually we were just featured in the Scranton Times last week on it, and we are one of the largest real estate producers that do produce the most distinctive homes, which is nice, and back with a few other companies as well in the area, but, you know, they highlighted us in the paper. And we do have special marketing, too, which is really nice. And we like to do is have the agents, and through ERA, which is another great tool, and another great thing that ERA does is we have this learning center that you can go, just because they want you to be familiar with, you know, people that are spending the extra money. And, you know, there's other warranty programs out there for them, how to market their houses, how to get these people to have their houses shown. So that's really nice. And what our agents do, they get a banner on their name on their website that says that I am a Distinctive Properties agent, which is really nice as well. And actually ERA makes you update that every year, so you're staying up to date, and they send you marketing for your clients and everything, which I think is nice, because it adds a nice touch, and it kind of gives you that personal touch with your client as well. We have beautiful signs for the yard. They're not just our regular for sale signs. They're these nice white signs. So they really do put a nice touch on them, too, and our marketing for the Distinctive Properties line has really done well as well.
That sounds great. I like all that.
Yeah.
You and I
were
talking just before we started this about an article that I mentioned. It was in, I think it was a national feed that came from one of the big cities, actually it was, that said that the millennials are at a point where they cannot afford the housing because it's being bid up so fast, so that they had the resources to be able to put the money down on a mortgage and a property, and they could package it together, but they were finding that once they found the home, they were going so fast they couldn't keep up with the bidding wars that were going on for them to get that first house. Are you seeing any of that in our area?
Not so much our area, but I mean, it's definitely a real thing, because, you know, these people that are able to come in and maybe that are looking at these $200,000-$300,000 houses, or any house for that matter, you know, they might not carry the debt that this newer millennial is, which, you know, on average, I think somewhere I read, and I don't quote me 100% on this, but I want to say the average millennial is carrying around anywhere between $85,000 to $100,000 in college loan debt.
Yep, that's a median.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's crazy. And, you know, that has to be, that's like a car payment. That's like a mortgage payment. So then that's the problem. And then, you know, these houses are going into bidding war, so it might be putting them out of their price range, which is, you know, it's sad, but it's the way the market's going. So, but that's a whole other conversation.
I know that there are several mortgage companies, and I don't think they're necessarily within the banks. Now, I may be wrong on that because that may be true, but I don't know about it. But there are several mortgage companies that are separate from the banks that are offering mortgages to physicians who are just coming out of their residencies and still have tons of debt. But they're giving them special deals to try to get them into a house. Are you familiar with anything like that in our area?
I just heard about a few of them, but I don't have a bunch of information on it yet as far as which banks or who in our area is offering it.
Okay. All right. Well, I just thought it might be nice to throw it out there. But anyway, the market's hot, and ERA's got the hot properties. So.
We do have the hot properties. That's so true.
Yes.
We were in the panel last week, and if you follow us on social media, we had our ad up about all of the distinctive properties we have sold or currently under contract or just listed. So we actually took up a full 2-page ad, which was pretty nice. We had a really big presence in the paper. So
I did see that. That was really impressive.
Yes.
Very much so. So tell everybody how they can get it. Tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. For all of our needs at ERA, you can reach us at 570-587-9999. We're headquartered in Clark Summit, but we do have 6 offices throughout northeastern Pennsylvania, over 10-plus counties. And our website is www.era1.com. Or if you need to reach me personally, it's 570-947-9250.
Okay. And as Laurie would say, thanks for listening, and be safe, and be nice. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.